Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. We're glad you're with us tonight. And I want to thank the One Institute for bringing us here to be with you each and every Thursday. So a little business at hand is we've got upcoming seminars and classes. We're going to talk about those a little bit later on in the hour. But for now, I'm going to say, Dr. Allen, you're on the air live.
Wonderful. Let me serve.
Awesome. Hey, I heard you had a super successful Orange County show.
Yes, it was large and full and creative, multicultural, men and women. Yes.
Oh, wow. I heard that your attendance was well over 100 people.
That's true. That's so true, especially since it's word of mouth.
And tell me,
other than this show, we advertise here, but we don't spend money.
That's right. So, how was Monday?
Monday was good, except they changed our room, and that was a little bitty turnoff, but not big enough to ruin the show.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, so
they promised that they would do it. No more. We could have our regular room.
Good. Let's hope that they keep their contract.
And love us.
That's exactly right. So Switchboard is telling me we have calls. Should we jump right in with 2 feet?
Do it. Let's do
it. All right. So let me just tell them we're ready for calls. And
hello.
Oh, look at that. We have a great switchboard. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Pat.
Hello.
So I realized a year later a man proposed to me.
A man did what?
Proposed to me.
Well, isn't that nice? Did you say yes or no?
I was a little... The proposal was a little different. I've always expected a proposal to have a will you at the beginning of it. So I really kind of didn't realize it until a year later.
Okay. Well, what did he say? I'm curious, and I'm sure the audience is curious too.
He said it went something like, I could see myself marrying you or something like that. And then he said, but I would want to live separately because I definitely want to spend time with you and sleep with you and all that stuff. But when I want to be myself, I want to be by myself. What do you think about that?
I think that's fine. I have no problem with two locations. Fergie and her ex-husband live in the same castle, upstairs, one downstairs, the other one. I have no problem with two location marriages.
When he said, what do you think about that? He was asking me, what do I think about that? And I just looked at
and
him
what
and said,
did you, I would have rather that he'd asked you what you felt about it, but what did your answer turn out to be?
I was so surprised. I was like, I don't know.
You don't know? What do you feel about somebody asking for a two-location marriage?
Well, at the time, I was so taken aback because it was such a non sequitur. So I was so surprised.
I appreciate that. So your script got in the way. You know your script?
Yeah,
the one that you learn from your family, your culture, your country.
Yes.
That script says, that's not a normal way to propose. Therefore, I'm not going to say yes.
I was so surprised, quite honestly. I was truly surprised.
Honey, do you understand what you're saying? That you want to be able to predict what people want from you before they ask for it, so that when they ask for it, you go passive-aggressive.
Correct.
And shut them off. They either ask you the way you want it, or they're done.
I owe him an apology.
That's called passive-aggressive.
Yeah,
and
so
I want to advertise a book, Living with the Passive-Aggressive Man by Scott Wetzler. And remember, I believe in androgyny. You are a female body, but you have a yang, masculine, animus soul. And he was asking you, especially this one, because he said, what do you think? He was going for your thinking, not your feelings. Mm-hmm. And either way, you would have answered him like, you didn't do it right, big boy. Therefore, you don't get me. So, what if you knew today, then? You knew he was asking to marry you, but he was doing it in a creative, unique way.
Well, first of all, I would say, is that a proposal? That's what I would say first. Is that a marriage proposal?
I would have rather that you would have said, that sounds like a proposal. Was it?
Got it. Okay.
See, is that a proposal? Is you interviewing him?
Oh, got it. Okay.
Whereas
okay,
if
so
you
I could
say, that sounds like a proposal, is it?
Yeah. Okay. And then he would say, yeah.
And then you would have said,
wow. I'm going to tell you the truth.
Wow.
What I would have said.
Is there anything wrong with wow and being surprised?
No. No.
No. So in the future...
And I would probably finish, and this is probably what I would have honestly said, Pat, and it may have been wrong. It would have said, well, I'm a little surprised. I would have never imagined a proposal happening without a ring. That's what I would have said.
Oh, but that sounds like a gold digger.
Oh, okay.
See, I know many couples where they ask and then they go shopping together.
Okay. So then I would say, so you're asking me to marry you? Or how I would feel
right
about that. Am I right? And he would say, yeah.
And you would say?
Asking me, I would say so, and I would clarify further, and you would want different homes.
And what?
I would say, and you would want different homes.
Well, that sounds
and
like, no,
would,
that...
I would want to, I guess what I would have to get to, I would, in order to say yes, I would need to know, like, how he'd want to live apart and stuff like that, like... Does that mean half and how would that, what would that look like? What does he want that to look like? Because I can't say yes to something that I don't know what he wants it to look like.
I understand, but that sounds like you're ready to sign on the dotted line. And I was kind of hoping you would simply keep it like simple, like, you know, that sounds like a proposal. Is it? Yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm more than willing to investigate getting engaged and working towards marriage. See, what you're doing was taking over the managerial job.
Yeah. I was trying to get an
idea,
but I've never had anybody say I want to marry, want to propose living in separate homes. And so I guess investigating. So then the thing is, well, thank you. What a lovely thing.
That's right.
Getting proposed to.
Because
I got it. So I would be really open.
There's nothing wrong with living in separate homes.
No. No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
People think you have to sleep in the same bed. You don't have to sleep in the same bed either.
At the same time.
Because some people, do you know what? I'm speaking.
Yeah. I know. I hear you. Okay.
There are people that cannot sleep together because of snoring and body activity. So basically, any proposal is worth investigating if you have chemistry and you've had enough continuity to know him well enough to say, yes, I will investigate your proposal.
My question is, we would get together like every week, and then it went to every other week, and it's been going on for like almost a year and a half. And
Dear, do you know that you keep taking me out of today into tomorrow? I'm giving you an answer here for this subject, and you're bringing up more problems. Do you want to be the man?
No.
Then will you let him create a proposal like he did and investigate it? You can say no at any time.
Oh, and see how I feel about it. I have the veto right. Okay.
You see?
To what he presents.
But if you've got to know everything within 5 minutes of his proposal, it isn't going to work because you've switched to a man and he has to be a female, and he sounds too creative to be a female to your male.
My concern was I would be saying yes to an experience with him that has been like the past. And the past has been like we see each other once a week.
Well, I got news for you. Maybe that would be the investigation negotiation that would say yes or no.
Okay. So investigate. Okay.
Are you
cool.
open okay. to creative men?
Yeah.
Are you open to creative men? They create
yes,
off their feminine. Okay. Then track them. Remember passive patient and vulnerable to their leadership?
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank
Good
you.
Good luck. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks, caller. Bye. Interesting.
Hello?
Interesting to not know if you'd been proposed to. That's an interesting concept for me. And it was it was a very creative proposal.
Yes, it was.
So I'm curious if he's left-handed.
So,
hello?
The phone call didn't end. I'm still talking to the same person.
Right. Okay. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hello, Dr. Allen. Hello, Kelly.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question. It's a bit of like a general question. I'm reading your book. It's A Man's World and a Woman's Universe.
Oh, good. I'm happy to hear that.
Oh, it's such a lovely book. It's taking me forever. Not because it's just, I read it a page and then I think for an hour. It's so deep.
I want you to know I've designed the book, which is really three books. I've designed it so that when men see the size of it, which is small and thin, they won't recognize a self-help book that men very often don't want to read. So I've conned the structure of it, and then I've made every single sentence very concrete and very substantive so that people really have to read every sentence to get what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's working.
Good.
There's a chapter there, chapter 15, and it's called Compliments Attract, Similars Repel. And there you said something that I don't quite understand. Okay. I'll just read the sentence. Symbiotic people simply do not share. They give or they take, but they do not share. One is a giver, yes. The other one is a taker. So can you explain yes. that? I'm not sure if I understand.
It's called a codependent relationship. It's where one person is a 10 and the other person is a 0.
Oh, so one can only give and the other one can only take?
That's the way they've decided right? it. It's called a codependent relationship.
Oh, okay. So when you're both
and
giving and
often,
taking, that's normal.
Very,
that's just normal.
And very often, the giver is the giver because the other person requires it. That's what codependency is. It's doing something that you don't want to do to be in the relationship with this codependent partner.
So for example, if someone, because I kind of kept thinking about, you know, one of my past relationships with a man that was married, and it's not that I didn't want to give him my time, but I knew it was unfair, but I couldn't get, at the time, I couldn't get free of him. So now that I look at it, it's all, you know, on his side, it was mainly just take, and I didn't get much out of it. So would that be, that's
know,
a codependent
because,
relationship, right?
Because you were codependent.
Yes.
It took two of you to make one person.
What do you mean?
Just that you didn't like what you were doing, but you did it anyway because life didn't look desirable without him in it. So you did it his way, no matter what it was.
Yes, true. I
see.
Okay.
There's a movie out there. Oh, there's a movie out there. Not in the studios, but it's called Secretary, and it's about a codependent relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
James Spader and Maggie Gyllenhaal. Excellent film, Dr. Allen.
Oh, very good. But it
got
is
it. But what about?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I saw a trailer for it. I think yeah, it looked funny. It reminded me of my life some months ago. Not to that extent, of course. But what about, so what if someone's, let's say, in a relationship and let's say a woman just had a child and they're married and she says, okay, I don't want to work for 3 years because I want them to develop mirror neurons appropriately. So she's dependent on her husband for
no,
money and everything.
Interdependent. No, that's not dependent. That's interdependent. In other words,
so that's,
she's had his
okay.
baby. She's had his baby, and she wants to stay home to parent that baby for 3 years, which I hope they talked about before they, you know, had the baby. Because when she brings it up after the baby's already born, that's kind of like, you know, you captured him and trapped him in something. I like people to negotiate time, space, money, and play, sexually and non-sexually. And to not do that is not a negotiator. It's an intimidator. If you don't do it my way, I'm leaving you. Or, oh, please, please, let me stay home with my baby. And that's a seducer.
Mm.
But a negotiator says, look, if I have a baby with you, will I be able, with your approval, to stay home till the baby can go to preschool? Because if you don't want me to stay home, I don't want to have the baby.
And that wouldn't be manipulation if you say it like that?
Of course it's manipulation. It's the same
but
manipulation you
in
see
a bad way.
The sticker on a car. I want people to manipulate negotiation constantly. How much time do you want to be together? I, we, and us. What chores, what behavior do we want to share in our relationship? How do we handle the money, your money, my money, our money? And then how do we play non-sexually, hobbies, or sexually together? Do we have an open relationship where we can have lovers? I want negotiation.
Got it. Okay.
Not seduction and not intimidation. Those are the three ways to communicate on this planet, in every culture, in every activity, every city, state, culture, everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So everything is doable if both people want it.
So as long as you basically negotiate your wants prior to, like, when the time comes, like, for example, this woman that was talking to you before me, she's not sure if she wants to be in this separate house situation. So no request
no,
she is obtained, basically.
He did. No. She didn't want it. She was shocked with it. He wanted
the
location.
So,
So there's nothing wrong. If you don't have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer, it's moral, ethical, and legal, and doable as long as both of you are willing to acquiesce and do it. You know what acquiesce means? Doing something you wouldn't do if you were single, but doing it for the team in order to be a team. Acquiesce.
Got it.
That's a wonderful word. It's not capitulate. It's not surrender. It's not codependency. It's interdependency. I'll bring this to the table and the bed. What will you bring to the table and the bed?
Some people find that type of approach cold. Like, I've talked to all of my friends about you and your methods and what I've been doing. Like, well, it's so calculating, it's so cold, and it's like math. So what do you think about that?
You know
that?
What they don't like?
I'm sure
they don't like it's rational. People like to be emotional. They like to have tons of feelings. Pain or pleasure doesn't matter. They don't like the boring nature they think negotiating is. But I can tell you, if you don't negotiate a business and you don't negotiate a marriage or a family, you're going to have a bankrupt organization both places. Do you see?
Mm-hmm. What do you think about prenuptial agreements?
Listen. Mm-hmm. Spontaneity produces chaos. Self-discipline negotiation produces creativity.
Because you're safe. You're safer at the end.
You know what to expect. You know what you're expected to do. You see, I always laugh when women say to each other, men love crazy women. Well, the truth of the matter is, men love women that live by their feelings instead of their logic. Because once a woman's in her logic, she wants to be the boss of the relationship. And real men don't like that. Wussies like that. Little boys. And then they set up a codependency. And we're back where we started.
Okay. That's a lot of food for thought.
I know. So, have you got what you called for?
Yes, absolutely. Maybe I will finish this book. Because I'm coming to see you 2 weeks from now for one class. No, wait, what is it called? I forgot. Yes, I want training course.
Oh,
hopefully I'll finish it by then.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That's an amazing
really
class.
I like that class.
Oh, Yeah, and I already listened to your CDs 100 times, and I gave them to a bunch of my friends, and one of them, this wildly rational, very, very successful man, he's like, oh my God, I listened to first 15 minutes 5 times because it's so dense. He's still not through with it. It's been months. He just keeps listening like that, and it's just, it's really, they're great.
Good.
That's really neat to hear.
Yeah, oh, they're amazing. It's they're just wonderful. I bought like, I think 4 or 5 because I keep giving them away, and they're so inexpensive. And if you think about how much crap there's out there for like hundreds of dollars, that's, I don't even know what it is. And this is just, you're doing such a wonderful job with it. Thank you so much.
Wow, thank you, caller.
If what, sorry?
I want to help people negotiate, not intimidate or seduce each other. That's what I want.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? One more question. So do you ever, have you translated? Well, I know you, so I don't think there is a translation.
The book has been done in German. It's been done Germany, Japan. Uh-huh. What else has it been done? Spanish.
I'm really interested because it will do very well in my home country, especially with teaching people how to negotiate in Russia. Russia, it's Russia.
In Russia?
Do you ever?
It's not in Russian, but
is that,
from what
how,
I hear,
is it possible to get it translated? To just get it translated? I have no idea what the process is like, but the women there will love it.
If you want to do that, you can go through, call the office and talk to Susie or Kelly. But that's not,
I would love to. Oh my God, it'd be a dream come true. Okay, perfect. I'll call them.
Okay.
Thanks, caller.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You bet. I look forward to seeing you next week.
Good. All right.
All right. Well, that was very interesting. She had some really good questions about that.
Hello?
Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Oh, great. Yes, I do. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I've called before about this same relationship, and I've got a question because this man is dating me. He's like 63 and I'm 48, and things have been going really well. Really, like, loving and stuff. We have a committed relationship, you know, where we talked about it and everything. It's been,
are
like,
you the cherished
months.
One or the respected one?
Cherished.
Good. Is he respectable?
Yes, he is very. He is very much. He does share a lot of feelings, though. So sometimes it feels.
I understand that. I understand that. We're all both, but we prioritize.
Yeah.
Respect, cherish, or cherish respect. Those people that are narcissistic, they want to be respected and cherished, and that means they want to be a 10, and they want you to be a 0.
Okay. I don't think he wants me to be a 0, but...
Okay. Then appreciate him.
Too, so I don't know. No, that's why.
Respect him.
My main question was, I have this watch from my ex-husband, and I don't even know why that came up. But a long time ago, it came up that I've been wearing this watch from my ex-husband, and I don't really feel romantic toward it at all. It's just practical. It's a nice watch. But at some point, he asked me to not wear it anymore, and then I did agree not to wear it. But then, and he said he was going to buy me a watch, but he hasn't yet. And then I did end up wearing it at work and stuff because it's really hard. I don't want to look at my phone all the time. And then yesterday we went on a date and I was actually wearing it. And then he was like kind of really disappointed and stuff. And I, you know, apologized many times and talked about it and stuff. And we were even like,
why are you divorced? Why are you divorced?
I don't know. My ex-husband asked for a divorce. He was having an affair.
Why did he divorce you?
I don't know if it was just to be with the other woman or because we didn't really get along at all. We had a pretty bad
relationship. I got it. So it happened. your divorce is still going on. He's treating that watch like it's an engagement ring.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. He's like, you just want to be in the past and stuff. But I really don't.
Right.
Like, I don't care at
but
all.
For you, you have the right to own it. It's not an engagement ring. It's a watch. So you want to wear it? Wear it.
Yeah. And what should I do now? Like after yesterday, I mean, he was still, you know, pretty nice and loving and stuff, but I could tell he was upset. Then at night he just texted me very sad. And then I said something like that. I felt kind of sad too, but I was, chanting about it or praying about it. And then I said, do you want me to call you after my meeting? And he said, yes. And then I called him and he didn't answer. And then this morning I called him and he didn't answer. And then I said on this WhatsApp thing, I could see he was on there. So I said, are you available? And he said, no. And that's it. Like,
so you're chasing him?
I guess. I was,
you want him back?
He wanted to talk.
No, you said you wanted to see him.
I just said, are you available to talk? Because he told
That's
me he
right.
wanted me to call him after the meeting. And I called him, but he doesn't answer.
I understand that. Except, what did you want to talk? Do you want him back?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't break up or anything, but he was just saying.
Oh, you didn't?
Really...
You're still married to him?
No, the ex-husband is long gone. This is the boyfriend who was mad.
Oh, this
that
is
I was
another man.
Watch. Yeah,
okay,
totally
another
divorced.
Man gave you the watch. Well, why does he want the watch back?
No, sorry, I got confused. My ex-husband gave me a watch like 15 years ago.
Oh, and
we're
the boyfriend
totally
doesn't
divorced.
Want you to wear it.
Yeah, and he got mad about that last night. And then today he didn't want to talk to me anymore. At least this
right.
morning he just didn't want to talk. He's
he
like
knows
retreating.
That you have the most... He knows you're still... You're still in love with your ex-husband, and you demonstrate it by wearing the watch, which irritates your boyfriend.
Oh, but I'm not in love with my ex-husband. I can barely stand him.
Yes, but you're wearing his watch, even though it irritates your boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's what he feels.
Now, I know that. How would you like it if you were with a man... And when you saw inside his wallet, there was a picture of his ex-wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was trying to think that. Like, if I had asked him to not wear the watch and he kept doing it, that would probably make me feel sad.
So you really don't want this boyfriend seriously, because all you've got to do, were you committed monogamously and continuously for a long-term relationship?
Yes.
Were you sexual with him?
Yes. And we were like, you know,
then why
like,
didn't you leave the watch? Why didn't you leave the watch off?
Oh, that's what I usually did. That time I like forgot. I guess I get irritated when I feel like I have to remember something for somebody. Like my ex-husband would always be like, you have to take out the recycling before I get home, and I would feel like so nervous. I remember
it's called respect and cherishing.
Yeah. No, I feel really bad. I just don't know what to do now, or you know, how to make it up to him. I did buy a watch with him yesterday because we went into Urban Outfitters, and I said, and they had watches, so I bought like a cheap watch. He said I wouldn't wear the other one anymore. Just as like a nice gesture.
And what did he say to that?
Well, he thought that was sweet and stuff. I mean, he was being nice. But
and so are you together with him as a boyfriend?
I mean, I thought we were yesterday when I left, you know, but then just today.
What about today?
Today he didn't want to talk to me. Today, like when I called him, he didn't answer. And then when I said, are you available to talk, he said no.
All right. So you'll have to wait the 8 weeks to see when he's willing to call, if it ever.
Mm-hmm. So I shouldn't say anything else about it.
His feelings were hurt, and he punished you by saying, I don't want to talk to you today.
Yeah.
So do you want to give him a chance? Do you want to give him a chance? Then be passive, patient, and vulnerable, and when he calls, be nice.
Okay.
All right? Because you've already put the watch down. Because it hurts his feelings. But,
and since I already apologized and stuff, I shouldn't say anything else.
I know. You already did everything that I know you can do. Now you've got to see what he's going to do in exchange for that.
Yeah.
The best way to be with a real man. The best way. The best way to be with a real man is passive, patient, and vulnerable to his leadership. If you don't want him, disrespect him and his wishes. A wuss will stay with you, but not a real man.
Okay.
So, do you want to be with a wuss?
No.
Have you ever been with one?
Yes.
But don't you like to be in control of them?
Not really. Like you, like I'll think I do for a minute, but then it just feels awful usually.
Okay. Is your mother a man?
Yeah, I'd say so. She was pretty much in charge.
So she's your role model.
Yeah.
So you're copying her. Do you like the way she is?
No.
Well, then would you think about not being like her?
Yeah.
Your script is showing. You know what a script is?
Yeah, I took your script class. It was really awesome.
Well, scripting is what you learn from your parents, your church, your country, your ethnic group, about what's right and what's wrong. So you learned how to be a man like your mother, and you happen to bump into men that want to be men. There's too many men in your life. You either have to be the woman or get a man that likes to be a woman. And they are out there. They like strong women.
Yeah, I don't like that. Anyway.
Well, then respect the man you're with.
Okay. Well, do you feel like he's being manly even though he's not really communicating?
Well, it's irritating because you're manly too. Even gay men are not equal.
Yeah.
There's one that's masculine and one that's feminine. And lesbians do the same thing. There's one that's more masculine, butch, and one more feminine. Equality breeds competition. Complementarity enhances intimacy. So do you want to be respected by men or cherished first?
Yeah, I'd like to be cherished first.
Then do what you can to respect him. As long as it's moral, ethical, and legal.
And then is that respecting him now just by not chasing him and just letting him obviously just figure this out, whether he wants to be together or not?
Well, do it his way, unless his way is immoral, unethical, and illegal. Respect him.
Yeah, I guess it's like so hard to not say anything. I feel really bad.
Okay, well, remember, beware of your thoughts, they become words. Beware of your words, mm-hmm. they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank, making money, a doctor's office, being healthy, and in every relationship that's founded in love, especially romantic love.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay, so now I have to be passive, patient, and vulnerable. And then if he doesn't
that's
call
right.
in 8 weeks, then do the hi-bye letter.
That's right. Okay?
Okay. I don't know how people get through the 8 weeks.
Or be the man and enjoy the man who likes being your woman.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
what do people do? What do people do?
They watch their mouth.
And 8 weeks?
What?
What do people do to get through 8 weeks of waiting? Of waiting so long.
They date other people to see if they need or want a replacement.
Mm-hmm.
I want you dating three people. He's one. Date two more.
Oh, okay. Even if you're in a committed relationship?
If he doesn't call you, he may have dumped you. I don't want you to make love with them.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to entertain yourself while you're in the doghouse, because you're in the doghouse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully he doesn't wait 8 weeks. Well, thank you so much.
That's how long it takes to ruminate themselves out of being mad at you. Feel thing. And then they either stay away or they come back.
Yeah. Yeah, it just seems so shocking to be like all lovey-dovey 1 minute and then just like totally over.
Welcome to the human race.
Yeah. Dang it.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Allen.
Well, update us, caller. Let us know.
Okay. I'll call back.
All right.
Hey.
Bye. I love that. Entertain yourself for those 8 weeks. It's the best advice that
That's right.
What are you going to do? Sit there and
forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 3, 2, 3, 3.
Okay. Yeah, because it can be a long time if you're not entertaining yourself.
I know, but that's why I say it.
So, what class do you have coming up this weekend?
Hello?
Self-esteem.
Oh. Oh, self-esteem is coming up. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Oh, my gosh. I do, except I just got to dinner with a friend, so I will call back next Thursday.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. We've got a caller for next Thursday. That's fabulous. Speaking of next Thursday, that's going to be the day after Thanksgiving. And we have a couple of people asking Dr. Allen.
I think it's Valentine's Day.
I'm sorry. That's right. Valentine's Day. I've went completely mad. Yeah. And this gal here online is saying, Dr. Allen, I feel so desperate because Valentine's Day is coming and I'm alone again this year. I don't want to be alone next Valentine's Day. What is your advice?
Flirt 5 minutes a day. 5 days a week.
I love that.
Or as you're walking about, one time seated, whether it's Starbucks or coffee after church, so that men can walk up and speak to you or sit down and talk with you. So it's a matter of flirting, looking in the eyes and smiling. And if you're feminine, don't talk first. And if you're masculine, talk. Introduce yourself.
And this actually really relates back to the classes you have upcoming this weekend, self-esteem.
Yes, it does.
So what are you going to be?
I do.
What are you going to be doing in that class? What's the general feeling?
In this class, we're going to find out how your androgynous. My doctoral work is androgynous semantic realignment.
Mm-hmm.
I give people a test, the Myers-Briggs temperament test, and then we see what nature God has created in you with feelings, which is feminine, or thinking, which is masculine. And if you're too high on thinking and too low on feelings, you need to be balanced for self-esteem. If mm-hmm. you need to be higher on feelings and lower on thinking, then you have the same problem. It's when you're out of balance and you're, do you ever teeter-totter?
Oh, yes.
Somebody jumps off and you hit the floor?
Yes.
That's what out of balance does.
Mm-hmm.
You do things like we listened to the lady that wore the watch with the boyfriend that didn't like to see it.
Right.
Now, that's a sample of it. You see?
Yes, I
when
do.
When people want to be respected, you've got to respect them so they can cherish you, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to be respected. And we all want to be cherished, but we can't get it equally. That's narcissism. And everybody has to be a zero. But
right.
if we know how to teeter-totter back and forth, we've learned how to communicate from either our brains or our heart. And that's what I do on that self-esteem balance.
That's awesome.
I deal with both sides of the people.
I want to remind everybody, if you're interested in coming to these seminars, you can go to www.oneeyestore.com. You'll see everything we have upcoming in the seminar department. And I'm afraid tomorrow's seminar, our Saturday seminar, will be already booked up and filled, but I'm certain there's upcoming ones of the self-esteem class, and I know Dr. Ellen has dream class coming up, and she has a class for the tools, the want tools, and her wonderful scripting class. Now then, if you're out of the area and you can't make it here to California, although we had people come from all over the world, amazing, we've had a gal from Australia come fly in. We've had a gal from London come fly in. A girl from Brazil flew in to be with Dr. Allen. So here's what I'm going to tell you, and it's very exciting. Dr. Allen does phone appointments. She does phone appointments for dreams. She does phone appointments for script. I'm certain that you could get the same information on a one-on-one phone appointment for self-esteem. And any other questions you have, we offer the phone appointments, and you should check it out. If you want more information, you can go to info@drpatallen.com to find out about that. In the meantime, go to our webpage, drpatallen.com, and sign up for our newsletter. Dr. Allen, what do you have to say before we go tonight?
I want everyone to know that the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Excellent. I want to wish everybody a wonderful and joy and love-filled Valentine's Day. And we'll be back here next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.